Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good afternoon, my brothers and sisters. Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of TNJ Radio. I'm in the building with my main man, Jay Wells. How you doing, brother?
Good afternoon, my G. Good afternoon, kings and queens. I hope everyone's having a great week, man. I'm excited about today.
Yeah, man, absolutely. We have a wonderful show in store for you all tonight. And since it's Black History Month, you know, we wanted to really kind of not necessarily break format because it is, you know, solution-based radio, but we wanted to put a little spotlight on some of our favorite, you know, folks in Black history. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's Black History Month, and it's only natural that we do that to kick the show off. And so, and you know, for the month of February, and so that's what we really wanted to do. And it's a lot of people that help pave the way for us that we feel are very important. And so we just really wanted to talk about that, talk about their stories and kind of what their stories meant to us individually and collectively as a people. And, you know, it's just a good thing to remember the folks that really made it happen for us and, you know, sacrifice or die for the rights that we have or some of the freedoms that we have. And so that's one of the things that we really wanted to make sure that we got done today. And I'm really looking forward to it, man. I'm excited. It's not that often that we really get a chance to do it. And you always feel like, you know, Black History Month is kind of cliche to do it, but what better time than the present to make that happen, man. But just in general, man, before we get into that, when you think about Black History Month, generally speaking, how do you feel about it, Jay? Like, what comes to mind, man?
Just the generic things, man. It's like it's kind of lame the way school kind of presents Black History Month and what we're kind of raised with Black History Month. And it's up to us as we get older to kind of get more behind it and support it because, yeah, you want to celebrate Black history every day, no doubt. But this is a time it should be more about unity and more about enjoying it instead of just focusing on the negative of it. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of us can kind of get caught up in that. And when you think about what guys like Carter G. Woodson and W.E.B. Du Bois did when they, because these are, keep in mind, white people didn't create Black History Month. You know what I'm saying? Guys like Carter G. Woodson are behind that. You know what I mean? They were really instrumental in the development of Black History Month. So we got to kind of keep that in mind. This is essentially something created by us for us to celebrate ourselves. So we have to keep that in mind.
Word, man. And when I think about it, you know, I just look at it as one of those things where you kind of still feel like, well, why do we have to? I mean, obviously the month is important, but it's just unfortunate in the sense that the month has to exist, but only because of the simple fact that, you know, we're not going to get our just due any other time. So this month has to exist and stay around for that simple fact, because if it wasn't around, then, you know, we wouldn't really have a time to reflect and teach our youth about, you know, the things that we have gone through. And so for that point alone, it's extremely important and definitely necessary. So with that being said, you know, we're going to go ahead and jump right into it, man. We both have kind of the way we're going to do it is we both have a few people that we want to talk about and dialogue about with you all here. And we'll kind of go back and forth on that. And then, you know, that's how we're going to get it in. So, Wells, you can go ahead and get us kicked off, man. I don't know who he wanted to talk about, nor does he know who I want to talk about, which is kind of how we wanted to do it. So that should be pretty dope. So go ahead and roll it out, man.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm kind of hoping we don't bump heads on this, but I was thinking about that. But but no, it's like
I bet we don't.
I don't think I'm going left, so that's cool. But it's like when it comes to heroes for me, man, I think about our culture. I think about people. It starts with love and empowerment. You know what I'm saying? I'm drawn to people that like the teachers. You know what I'm saying? People that really kind of emphasize our real history. You know what I'm saying? And you hear people talk about how it's like that famous quote: "Slavery isn't Black history. Slavery interrupted Black history." You know what I'm saying? And that's something that kind of resonates with me. And you think about the images that we've received and the images that we're taught with, we kind of don't get the good stuff until we're old enough to find that information on our own. That's not necessarily what we're taught, and especially in most public school systems. And for me, I want to talk about a couple of people that were just like, just really influential to me. And the first person is Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, and she recently passed on January 2nd. And many people are familiar with her work with the ISIS papers and the Hidden Colors documentary series. And if you know me, you know I'm a YouTube junkie. Like, I am all over the YouTube just, like, checking stuff out. And, like, she first came into my on my radar, I want to say it had to be, like, 4 or 5 years ago, man. I stumbled across a debate from, like, 1974. It was, like, her and the professor, William Shockley. And Shockley was kind of worried on, he was just trying to justify white supremacy. He was trying to talk about how blacks were, how pretty much a small brain or simple minded, weren't mentally capable of doing the same thing as white people. That's what things he's trying to teach. If you look back, that's what the Nerman tried to do, and similar to him, they weren't able to prove it with science. It was just stupid things and fake opinions they created. And not only did Dr. Wilson pull the million holes into his theory, but she also presented the Nerman theory. And I can go with them around and whatever. And if you check out the paper, it'll go a lot deeper into that. But she kind of went into that. She went into how genetically certain things are kind of cool for us and how it's kind of like a good thing. It's really deep. It's really deep. And I strongly recommend checking it out when you get a chance to take a look at the papers. That's like one of my favorite books. I think everyone, not just black people, anybody should take a look at it. It's very enlightening. And about Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, man, she's got a host of videos on YouTube. Strong recommends checking her out. She's phenomenal in every way. She's responsible for so many great things, and I really think she's the type of person that if people get a feel for and get to kind of view her work, you'll see how empowering and how motivational she is. And again, she comes from that teaching background. So everything she says is in a way for you to understand it, for you to kind of like build from it. And she's just someone that I absolutely adore. And the fact that she was teaching empowerment and uplifting and embracing our people, embracing our culture, those are things that just like they sit with me. And that's my first person. Trav, what do you got coming up?
Well, I'll piggyback on that a little bit. I really enjoyed her work, man, and, you know, from actually the ISIS papers was like one of my favorite books, man, because it's one of those things where you learn about history and you learn about things that you didn't necessarily know. And it's unfortunate that, you know, you do have to the way our education system is set up, you do have to wait until, you know, you become an adult and you kind of have the, how can I say
it? You got to self-educate, the willpower
to go out and find things on your own. Otherwise, you'll never find this information out. And I remember back early in my college days, man, when I was I almost said something crazy. When I was becoming a member of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity.
Stop snitching, my G.
I know, man. Let me chill. But we spent a lot of time studying and, you know, had a lot of extra time in the library. And so, like, I would mark, like, around, you know, the time when I was, like, 19 or so, when I really started to self-educate myself on on black history. Like, for some reason, I really became into I was already into it, but I really just jumped all into it when I was probably about 19, I'd say, because I had a lot of time in the library. I was studying a lot. And so, that was one of the first books that I actually read, along with Soul on Ice. And so it really kind of changed my perspective on things. And so I definitely would agree with her contributions, and definitely as a true player in our culture and the way things turned out for us. And I always think about W.E.B. Du Bois, and he said, know, the cost of liberty is less than the cost of oppression. And, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, being free is something that you can't put a price tag on. And I don't even mean free, you know, physically, but free mentally as well. And so she was one of those people that always looked to not only, you know what I'm saying, free you, you know, she wasn't obviously freeing you physically, but freeing you mentally. And so, you know what I'm saying, that was definitely, you know, one of the people that I have a lot of respect for. One of the people that I highlighted, because my interest has always been in the early, I would say, slave era when it comes to Black history through, like, the Civil Rights Movement. I just always had this crazy just yearning for knowledge in that area, because I always wanted to know why. Like, I'm always just why. Like, how did this happen? Why did this happen? Or even once I found out what happened, I wanted to know how. And there's a brother named Olodi Equiano, who was a former slave. And that was one of the books that I read back in the day. And he was a former slave, and he was captured as a kid from Nigeria. And he was captured along with his sister, and then, you know, became enslaved. And he has a book where he eventually became free and became a big-time abolitionist. But he was, like, one of the most articulate, one of the most, the way he outlined his whole experience of becoming a slave, of how he was captured. I mean, he remembered everything and wrote about it so eloquently at a time where, you know, he was on the boat going through the Middle Passage and made it to Barbados and, you know, ended up in America and then ended up going back to England and London, and where he was eventually freed and was became a seaman. And then they tried to enslave him again, and then he eventually, you know, was free for good. But, you know, like, thinking about that brother, man, it's just, to me, it embodies everything that we are as a people, because of the simple fact that he is the example of what people think Black people are, but we absolutely are not. So, for example, they thought he was a slave because they enslaved him. They put that man on that boat and tried to destroy his mind, tried to destroy his spirit. But he was all, you know, every bit of intelligent as those people who enslaved him, and even more so. And the same can be said for modern-day America, right, where, you know, folks think that African-Americans aren't as intelligent as white folks, or we can't do this or we can't do that. But he beat all of the odds, wrote a book, best-selling book, one of the bestsellers of all time. And, man, that just, you know, means a lot to me, because it's just one of those things where if you can go through that and be on a slave ship and watch all these people die and be enslaved and then still have enough mental toughness and still have your right mind to, once it's over with, learn how to read, learn arithmetic, and then go on and do great things, I just find that extremely, you know, extremely encouraging. And so that's why Equiano was my first person, and was really the first person that came to my mind when we even, you know, kind of thought about doing this, you know, doing this thing. And it reminded me of an old African proverb that said, like, God does nothing to those who keep their arms crossed. And he was just like that. You know, like, he could have just laid down and died and hoped for the best. But my man kept grinding and kept his mind sharp, and he got free. And with that being said, you know, that's my first guy, and big time salute, you know what I'm saying? And it's just a story of triumph when it could have been something absolutely, you know, tragic.
And, well, it's really dope, though. First, the interesting life of I can't even get his name out right now. But The Interesting Life is a really good book. And when I say, when you listen to how we chronicled it, and that's why I can see why you feel that so much, bro, because the way he chronicled everything is kind of crazy, the fact of what he was dealing with and the fact that he was able to kind of keep his mind. You know what I'm saying? You think about everything they do to people that was happening, and the fact that he was able to keep his mind was just, it's just amazing. And it's one of my favorite books as well, bro.
Right. They're like, they're telling him you're a slave. He's like, bro, I ain't no slave. Like, man, you crazy. Like, I'm not a slave, man. So, I mean, that's pretty dope. But anyway, go ahead, man. Who you got up next, man?
Next up, man, it's another teacher. And it goes back into, like, Trav, y'all, a lot of my friends used to kind of clown me for this. I went through a heavy melanin phase, man. It's like I was all in to melanin and just embracing our melanin and the superconductor that is melanin. And the teacher that has been, like, so instrumental to me was my guy, Dr. Booker T. Coleman, Brother Kaba Kameen. And he's another brother that's been featured in the Hidden Colors docuseries. And He's done so much, man. He's been a professor. He's a true teacher. He's an educator. He worked in the New York City school system for about 30 years. So he's an educator by trade. And for me, man, this guy is a person that not only just talked about, again, melanin and empowering each other, he teaches about our history. You know what I'm saying? Talking about the great dynasties of Mali, Nubia, Kemet, teaching more. There's more to Africa than Egypt. There's more to Africa than Kemet. You know what I'm saying? And he teaches you about everything. And one of my favorite quotes of his, he said, it's enough to try to learn about our history and learn about the Dogon and learn about Kemet. It's about learning how they did those things and applying that now. And I thought that was so fire because that's the thing, dude. It's like we are part of a school system and an educational system that pretty much just teaches you how to retain information. It doesn't teach you how to think. It doesn't teach you how to do anything except solve a problem. You know what I'm saying? Or do what you just were shown. And we have to kind of learn from our ancestors and try to learn the way they learned and teach the way they were taught. And that's something that he really emphasizes. And it's just dope. And the way he goes about it, on different videos and different lectures that he has all over the internet, it's super, it's one of those things that's just empowering, you know what I'm saying? And it just makes you feel like, oh, man, I can do so much more. I can tap into so many different. And also, it's educational, man. It's like you get so much from it. And it's a couple of videos I'm going to tweet out after the show, man. And, oh, yeah, don't forget, man, follow us on Twitter at TNJ Radio. That's good to go. We're going to have a lot of stuff coming as far as, like, books that we talk about, YouTube videos that we reference, things like that. Please take a look at it and follow us on Twitter at TNJ Radio. But he has this one called The Science of the Sun and The History of the N-Word. Those two, actually, are just two just that are just really great. And it shows you, first, Science of the Sun teaches you about the Dogon and Moors and certain things and their cultures and how their principles are still being used today. And also the history of the N-word, I just think it's dope because it kind of gives you how it kind of teaches you how the word was derived. And people kind of think they know, but it was really good detail. And I love the way he broke it down. And it's kind of funny, man, because the way he describes these things, it reminds you that he's a teacher. It's so simplistic, but it's like at the same time, and it just kind of shows you how we literally walk around with the truth, and the truth is being hidden in plain sight, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's so many things that are so real that we've just learned to complicate for no reason. And I just love the way he breaks stuff down, and that's the brother that, honestly, man, he comes to town, I'm there. You know what I'm saying? It's like that's just a guy that I just love to hear talk. He's super inspirational. He's super educational. Like, I've literally spent weekends watching this guy's documentaries, man, stuff on repeat. But this is my guy.
Yeah, I know that's your dude, man. and, I mean, like, I definitely watch a lot of his videos, man. A lot is probably an exaggeration, but I've definitely seen a good deal of them. And the thing I like about it the most, and the thing I respect about his videos the most, is the fact that they all look into, you know, like, let's get free. You know what I'm saying? And it's all real information. It's not anything that's made up or, you know, coming out the blue. You know what I'm saying? It's all extra 100. And that's the thing I appreciate about him the most. And the thing actually, furthermore, you know, the thing that I actually appreciate about him the most, other than that, is the fact that he's not a attention seeker. You know, he's not that dude that's out here self-promoting. He's about sharing the information and hoping you get the information and understand the information, as opposed to other cats that's out here that seem like they got an agenda. And so that's one thing that I really appreciate about that brother. My next one, man, is kind of you could say it's, I mean, you could say it's cliche, but not really, man, because now is kind of a perfect time to bring him up, but it was actually on my mind even before I heard about that movie that was coming out, and it reminded me of this. I remember this lady told me back in the day, and I'll never forget it, when I was younger. She was like, the only thing that should be separated by color is clothes. And I was like, dang, that's 100. You know what I'm saying? And that's Nat Turner. And my dude is Nat Turner because, not because of, you know, obviously the story of Nat Turner is kind of well documented, you know, how he led the slave rebellion back in the day in Virginia. And he went around from house to house and, you know, freed slaves, and he got a whole bunch of slaves on his side, and they rode through some plantations on horses, and they took guns and all that. And you know what I'm saying? They did body some white people on the way, but that's not really why, and that has nothing to do with why Nat Turner is my guy. The reason he's my guy is because you think about back in the day, you know what I'm saying, what, like, and we was kind of talking about this last week when we got off the phone, when we ended the show, right, and we was like, we all think that if we was a slave, like, we would have been that dude, right? Like, if you was a slave back in the day, you would have been that dude, like, man, let's body these cats, you know what I'm saying, or, like, let's get free, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm about to round up everybody on the plantation. We about to put together a plan, and, you know, I'm a field Negro, you feel me? But, man, you know, good and well, you probably would have been a house Negro, you feel me? Like,
all up
know,
in the crib, bro. Most people, right, would be afraid to walk off a job today, let alone.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and back then, you wasn't even making no real money. Like, you was just actually doing work, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was no financial gain on the line, but everybody thinks that if they were in a situation where they were enslaved, and if you put yourself in that situation back in the day, you think that you would have been that ultimate field Negro that wouldn't have took nothing from nobody, and that's kind of how you just imagine yourself being. And I mean, I ain't gonna lie, like, I'm one of those people, like, I think that I would have been like that, but probably 9 times out of 10 I probably wouldn't have, just to be frank, but you never know, and that's the good thing about it. We don't have to know, right? But point being is, I just admire the fact that he was able to have the power and influence to, first of all, create the plan, secondly, to get enough people on his side to believe in him, because this is all mental. This has nothing to do with people that, you know, they killed or whatever the case may be. This is all, like, the power of leadership and the ability to motivate other people. And that's essentially what he did. He was able to get people to do things that everybody was afraid to do. Everybody was, and you think about it, you know, they outnumbering the people on these plantations in massive numbers, but yet still everybody was afraid to revolt and to rebel against the people that were treating them in this manner and were subjecting them to these horrible conditions. But yet still, Nat Turner was able to influence, you know what I'm saying, they say roughly 200 people When I read the book, it was like 200 people or so that they said he was able, slaves, that is, that he was able to get together and, you know what I'm saying, get their minds right, and then after that, you know what I'm saying, get them together and to execute this plan. And I just find that extremely fascinating. And then even furthermore, he knew what time it was. He knew it was no way, shape, or form that they was getting away with that. And you know what I'm saying? He knew they was going to get caught, but he was willing to die for what he believed in because he knew that that situation was wrong. And I just think that when you set aside, like, the piece about people being killed and put it strictly on the mental aspect of what he was trying to do, I think that we all will hope and wish that we had the guts to do something like that back then or now. And I don't mean, and I mean mentally, like having the fortitude to go out and just say, you know what, man, I know what I want to do. I'm going to do it. I'm walking off this job. They ain't treating me right. And I'm going to go start my own business. And whatever happens, happens. You know what I'm saying? And I think, like, that's really what I equate it to more than anything. And that's why Matt Turner is my other person. What you think about Matt, bro?
Man, that's my guy, man. I feel like if Matt Turner doesn't inspire you, there's something wrong with you. And as much as we kind of, like, I mean, they're completely different people, but Matt Turner is the perfect symbol of what guys like Dr. Boyce Watkins and Dame Dash kind of talk about in that regard. As far as, like, yo, you don't have to deal with this, man. You have other options. You can take it and own it for yourself. Matt Turner, he was more so inspired by God and what he believed, but at the same time, man, we have to kind of, like, understand, like, that, like, we can change our situations whenever we want to. And honestly, if Nat Turner would have gotten if he would have gotten full participation, he would have had a very successful slave rebellion. And it's like, and if you take a look at that, he really had people shook. You know what I'm saying? And what was really dope about Nat, it's like if you listen to, if you take a moment, and the narrative of life of Frederick Douglass is really short. It's not very long. You know what I'm saying? Not Frederick Douglass, I'm sorry, for Nat Turner. That turns mm-hmm. it's not really long. It's like it's not even a couple hundred pages, is it?
Mm-hmm. And that's short.
Yeah, if you check out the Nat Turner book, The Confessions of Nat Turner, I'm sorry, I'm mixing books up. Check out The Confessions of Nat Turner and you'll read it. And the thing is, you can kind of see the different portions that you kind of tell someone altered. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever, mm-hmm. did you ever get that vibe from it? Like you could feel like something was kind of altered or something was changed.
Well, I'm pretty sure that when it was all said and done, he wasn't the one that, you know, sent the book to the to the public.
Yeah, it's like you can tell, but it's like it's really funny, not funny, but it's just interesting in the way that it's like certain two portions of the book, you can kind of feel like, oh, I see where he was going with that, and then you kind of see how it was kind of altered. But nonetheless, it's definitely a must read. I think anyone should check it out, and it's like the location where the rebellion took place is like 2 hours from me, bro. I need to go check it out. That's something that's been on my bucket list and I just haven't done. It's like Southampton County, Virginia or something. It's like two hours from me. I need to go check it out.
Yeah, that's dope. If you could check that out, that'd be fire, man. Because I mean, like that, you know what I'm saying? Like the funny part about it is like along that East Coast, man, in Virginia, it's so many spots where, you know, our history in that regard took place. You could spend days on top of days, you know what I'm saying, like going through there and seeing different sites that were places, things took place and what have you. So, I mean, you get some extra time, you know, you have no streets, go ahead and check it out. But with that being said, you know, we want to really just thank everybody for tuning in today. We hope that, you know, you enjoyed the show, you know, just reflecting and talking about, you know, a lot of the things that, you know, that we care about when it comes to Black history and when it comes to, you know, kicking off Black History Month and everything like that. And, you know, hopefully you all enjoyed it. And we will be right here next week, right back at it again, TMJ Radio, Solution-Based Radio. And as you know, God is love. Peace.